2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Scott Mitchell just tickled pink with his agent on the line. You've always been very, very... I think the majority of the time that I hear guys talk about their agent, it's not like he's my agent. It's like I had the worst agent. My agent screwed me over. You know, and that's never been the case for you.
No, there's really famous agents.
Yes.
Okay, like well-known. And I spoke with several of them when I was interviewing agents. And a lot of people with Tony actually get him the second time around because they go, you don't lose guys and you always get good deals for your guys. And they go, I want that because they did. They most of them got taken by an agent and then they go to him. And that's what I really enjoyed about Tony. In fact, I was at Utah and Utah never had players drafted back then. So I was like, who's a good agent? And you know where I found out who good agents were? I called BYU.
Oh, you did?
Because, well, they were the ones
they're
having
the ones
players.
Who had quarterbacks going out, yeah.
And they said, there's this guy in Baltimore named Tony Agnone, and he's represented a lot of our players. In fact, he got into business through Bart Oates. Tony was actually a law professor. And it was. What he said is, I want to make sure I take care of these guys in their career and after their career, and it's not just, you know, it's not just a one hit boom and it's over. It's really a relationship, and he's a good friend. Still chat with him, and you know, it's just,
it was pretty cool to talk to him.
Yeah,
that's fun.
It was amazing.
To hear.
Quite frankly, it wasn't enough time.
Sounds like you got. It sounds like, I mean, you could have been.
Like really, we need about 2 hours because he's full of just great information.
He could have some wild
stories,
too. He doesn't like the way the NFL's going.
No.
Oh, no, you can tell the majority of his clients now are defenders.
Oh, yeah. He's always had defenders.
He's got
a lot. Michael Strahan was one of
them. Right. Yeah, I mean, defenders aren't allowed to hit anybody. That's never something that comes out of Scott's mouth. It's
I agree with that. Look, I agree with him. The NFL's different. I'm not saying I like it or dislike it. There's no question. It's an advantageous league for offenses, without a doubt.
Well, and I think he nailed it too when he goes, look, what you saw this weekend with
is a precursor to.
Right. Well, not just that. How did we react when we had that game? Everyone said that's the most amazing thing ever.
Yeah.
That stuff gets borne out, and you bear that out in the ratings, you know, on TV. And everybody goes, well, how can we have more of that? Well, you've got to get the ball in guys' hands. And the way you do that is you punish defenders throughout the year to give a massive cushion to these guys, not get there early, not hit guys as hard. I'm all about the safety part of it. I'm all about making sure that these players aren't going head-to-head And you know, this generation of players are still going to have massive effects of CTE, guaranteed, despite all the changes that have been made. But you're also going to get massive offensive numbers, like you were saying. All right. Scott Urban Meyer has opened up about that NFL gig that he had at the Jacksonville Jaguars for 13 weeks. What were they, 1-11 when he ended up leaving? Either way,
I think
good.
Of all of the sports things that happened this year, like everything across the board, the fact that Urban Meyer could not make it through a year, season.
Is that the most shocking thing?
Most shocking thing to me. Positive or negative, most shocking thing in sports that's happened to me this year.
Well, he comes out
not this 2022 because we just started this, but
He was asked about like what's the difference in the NFL, what's the difference with college, and basically people want to know how is it that you weren't successful in the NFL and you weren't in college, and he said, well, you know the amount of reps you get in practice before you go and play in a game. To me, it was shocking. It was shockingly low. For example. Quote, we would practice, you know, maybe one or two reps at something. Then, you know, then you're calling it in the game. In college, you never do that. In college, you're going to get at least a dozen opportunities to practice that play before you go out. And so there's a lot of differences. Quote, in professional football, there's no recruiting. So it's all scheme, all roster management. You're going to go, you're getting guys rolling in on your organization on a Tuesday, and they're going to play for you on a Sunday.
All right.
So that's Urban an advantage, by the way. If you're like, don't have to worry about recruiting.
No.
Be amazing.
No. You're missing the whole point.
What is it?
It just went by you.
What?
It went over you. Urban Meyer, in what you've just read to me, has exposed what he is as a football coach.
Which is
what? And what I think a lot of football coaches are in these big time programs. We're gonna out athlete you. That's what we're gonna do. And so why you think of all these quarterbacks from Ohio State and they get to the pros and they struggle. And they struggle because they really haven't been coached up. They've been athleted up. They just go around, run around, make plays, and they're just better. They're just better than all the people around them.
Every team in the NFL is athleted up.
Right. And so guess what? You know what that means? You have to coach people. The fact that it's like he goes, well, there's no recruiting. I can't go out and get the best players in the country. It's like, I'm at Ohio State. I'm going to go get the very best players, and we're just going to beat you because we're better.
Because
we're faster.
You got guys rolling in on a Tuesday, and suddenly they have to play for you on a Sunday.
That's hogwash. It's really hogwash right there. Okay, because, look.
Hogwash. Okay. You and my dad should hang out.
What exactly is hogwash?
I don't know, but it's a term that's like – that my dad totally used.
Yeah, we need to figure out what that is.
I mean, you could.
I've said it my whole life. I don't even know what it means.
It's gross. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
But
so here's the thing, okay? We had this discussion with Tony, my agent, right? And he mentioned Tom Moore. Tom Moore was the offensive coordinator for Detroit when I was there. He was with Peyton Manning, and he's been with Bruce Arians. So he was out in Arizona. And he's of course there in Tampa Bay. We had plenty of time to rep all of this stuff.
So what he's saying is not true then.
Well, no, good teams figure out a way to get the reps in. You don't necessarily have to go full speed practice, rep everything out. But we would have a walkthrough. We'd go in a meeting. We'd have a walkthrough. We'd go and we'd have practice. We'd have another walkthrough. We'd go watch the film, and we'd do it again the next day. We'd do it Tuesday or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 4 days. And you know what? If you weren't comfortable with something, you go, we never ran it in a game. Now, an offensive genius, Brian Billick, who won all these Super Bowls, who I played for, was like Urban Meyer. Like you'd run a play a couple of times, and then that's it. You'd never run it again. And so in some regards,
he's
making
it sound like he didn't have very much control either. Like they do all this stuff this way, and I was just caught up in the mess of it. And it's
what the challenge of it is: you have your roster. That's it, right? So you got to coach up your roster. You got to figure out how to get mismatches. And when you have a young quarterback, he's not going to know how to do that. Like I'll give you an example. When Tampa Bay was playing in the game, right? They couldn't block anyone, so they had to use an extra back and Gronkowski, Because whenever they released Gronkowski, Tom Brady got sacked. So they just said, our outside receivers, one of those two guys is going to be in one-on-one coverage. And whoever's got one-on-one coverage, that's who we're going to throw the ball to. Right? And so and they just said, we're going to find the one-on-one coverage, the mismatch, and we're going to go to that. And that's about as simple as it gets. And that's how it is all the time. And Tom Brady's done that in his whole career. Really good quarterbacks understand where the one-on-one matchup is, where I have and you can plan that, you can scheme that, and it's not that complicated. And Urban Meyer's just used to, you know, had he had more time in the NFL, maybe he just had better athletes. And what's interesting to me is it brings me back. I had a conversation with Urban Meyer when he first got hired at Utah. And I sat in his office and we talked. We actually went to lunch. And I said, you know, in my career, I have like a lot of really good knowledge about offensive football. Would you like me to share some of it with you? I'd be more than happy to sit down and we just talk, you know? And he says, no, I'm good. I know what I got. I don't need him.
Wow.
I'm like, I mean, it's like free information. And he's like, no, we're okay. And I'm like, okay. Nowhere. It wasn't like, it was just, I was still playing in the NFL.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't, you know. He's like, well, I don't know. It just really.
He's where the highway. Yeah,
that's kind of what it is.
He got the ladder.
He got the highway.
This time he got the ladder. I just thought it was interesting that idea of, well, you know why I didn't go well in the league?
It's going to be fascinating watching Brian.
I couldn't control it more.
Right. Yeah, it really is. Brian Leftwich. Going to Jacksonville, who he actually played for the Jets, you know, that's gonna be an interesting, that'll be kind of fun to watch to see what he can do with Byron Leftwich Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence, yeah.
Because you know what he'll do? He'll go. Let's show you about Tom Brady.
Let's open up the playbook.
Well,
Let's make your life easy.
That they will if they make it easy for him. That could be a good situation.
All right, let's take the break here. We'll come back.
He may go past Zach Wilson.
Uh-oh.
But that's what Zach Wilson needs. He needs someone like that. I'm just telling you.
The Big Ten looking to ditch their division talk and go straight to an 8-game league slate with all 14 teams staring at each other and figuring out how to schedule that thing. Good for alliances. We'll have to see how this works. How are the conferences going to move forward in scheduling? Is everybody else going to go to this 8-game schedule? It looks like it in the conferences. It looks like it. We'll come back. More to go.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.